This is Diana Nightingale, and today's message is the fourth in my new series for Sunday morning. Over the next weeks, I'll be sharing with you short stories taken from my book, The Spiritual Flight of the Nightingale, in which I share my real-life experiences about the times when, in the midst of struggling with everyday situations, those that tax the soul, wear the mind, and drain us emotionally, physically, and spiritually, I had moments of real insight and the realization that God was present and showing me something profound in those very moments. I hope you'll find something in my stories that will inspire you to find your gems along the bumpy road of your journey. And if you'd like to have the book or audiobook of The Spiritual Flight of the Nightingale, just go to www.dianannightingale.com. And now, Chapter 4. I prayed, God sent me, Robert Hall. Many years ago, and before I met and married Earl, I was living in Florida. I was working in real estate and raising three children, along with co-parenting a grandchild. One day when I was en route to delivering an offer on a home, I found a beautiful lot situated on the banks of the Caloosahatchee River in North Fort Myers. It was a very large lot with a seawall, and across the river, one could see the lights of Fort Myers at night. When I spoke with the man who owned the lot about buying it, I told him I wanted it for investment purposes and asked what kind of financing he could offer. We agreed to a down payment and then annual payments thereafter. This was great. I'd have a whole year to find a buyer, and meanwhile, I was making good money and would be able to make a payment if it hadn't sold within the year. As time passed, I received an offer to come to work for a developer at the beach. They were selling condominiums at pre-construction, and the opportunity sounded exciting and fun. So I accepted the sales position. All was going well at work, although sales were slower than in the residential market, and the bulk of commissions would be paid when the units were finished and closed. I soon realized that financially this may not have been the best choice since the work on the units had slowed down and the closings were being pushed farther into the future. In addition, I was also experiencing severe health problems, and as time passed, it became apparent that I would soon need surgery. I worried that my money wouldn't stretch with me being off of work for a while, but I believed that everything would work out just fine since I had commissions coming soon. Surgery was a success, and I returned home to recover. As my recuperation time came to a close, I learned that the developer had gone out of business, and I was without a job. To make matters worse, I'd lost all of the commissions I'd made that would have been paid to me in the future. Now I found myself looking for work in the real estate market that was taking a dive, and a recession was at hand, and my savings were getting smaller by the day. To make matters worse, the annual payment on the riverfront lot was coming due. If I couldn't make the payment, I'd lose the lot and my initial investment. I had mouths to feed and bills to pay. I was still weak from surgery, and I was very discouraged. It was also summertime in Florida, and back in the 70s, people who lived there usually headed north, and the tourists didn't come until winter. The locals weren't hiring, so picking up work wasn't an option. Weeks went by, and it was the last Friday of the month, and everything would be due within days. I was down to my very last dollars, and the mortgage needed to be paid along with the utilities and all the other costs of living, to say nothing about having to feed my growing family. To compound my concern, the annual payment was due on the lot. After sitting with pen and pad all evening, moving numbers from one column to another, I realized that I had no way out. No job, no money, no promise of a financial rescue in sight. Filled with despair, I went to bed, and as I always do, I prayed. But that night it was different. That night it seemed as though I had a clear, direct connection with God. And I felt as though he was my father sitting on the bed listening to me. I knew that he knew what was going on, so I didn't have to explain my needs to him. I remember thinking that in time, God always works things out, and that since he is eternal, my time and his time weren't really the same. And I prayed that he'd realize how urgent my plea was that night. I told him that through the years, I'd always been happy to leave up to him the resolution for whatever it was I requested. But this time my need was urgent. I told him that I knew I didn't have any earthly way to meet my needs and that I was really, really tired. In closing, I prayed that while I was turning it over to him, I would really be grateful if he could send me help by the next morning. When my prayer finished, and there was more, I had a feeling of complete peace and a very strong faith and assurance that when morning came, so would my help. I remember the depth of my faith that night, which now I recognize as the realization of answered prayer, that true faith in the unseen, the birds singing before dawn, the celebration of what we know is coming. That was gift enough, but there would be more. I chuckled to think that even though I hoped for a miracle straight from God, I was still trying to figure it out at an earthly level. And while I believed that in the morning help would arrive, I remember thinking as I drifted off to sleep that maybe Ed McMahon would come to the door the next morning and tell me I'd won the sweepstakes. Forget that I hadn't entered. Talk about misplaced faith. I share this with you so you'll understand that even in our most etheric moments when we are asked to risk it all and make that leap of faith, it's only human to ask, but who will catch me? Answered prayer seldom looks the way we think it will. And while we are asking at an earthly level for a supernatural solution, we still expect that it will be something within our reason. But God surprises us with something we could never imagine. When we ask, who will catch me? His answer may well be, no one. I'll teach you to fly. So, while I was sleeping contentedly, God had already worked it all out for me, and Saturday morning, I was awakened from a sound sleep when the phone began to ring. I answered to the happy voice of June, a woman I knew from church. I'd spoken with her earlier in the week, and she told me that her husband Jim was in New York on business. Jim owned a warehouse where he sold clothes and items that were lot-ins and off-season items. Seems the Robert Hall clothing chain was going out of business, and Jim was in New York bidding on the contents of some of the stores to bring back and sell at his business. She had said that when Jim came home, they'd like to have me join them for a day of sailing on their boat, and that she would call me when he came back. What are you doing? She asked. Sleeping, I replied. What are you doing today? Nothing important, I said, fully expecting that she was about to invite me for a day of sailing. How would you like to go to Newark? New Jersey? Why would anyone want to go to Newark? I asked, now fully awake. Because Jim bid on the contents of 5 Robert Hall stores and got all 5 of them. What he didn't realize is that a short-term lease is included with the contents, and he can stay and sell the clothes there instead of hauling them back here. It also allows the people who work there to make some extra money while looking for new jobs. One of the stores is in Phillipsburg, and he wants you to come to New Jersey and manage the sales of the store there. Long silence. I was barely awake. We're prepared to make it worth your while, she said. Tell us what your immediate needs are as far as money goes, and what your family will need while you're away, and I'll bring it over now. You have to leave today, all expenses and housing paid for in New Jersey, and you'll get 10% of what your store sells. Oh, yes, and all the clothes you want for you and the kids. Silence prevailed on my end of the line. Waves of shock and amazement rocked my soul. I had asked God to send help, and he was sending it through Robert Hall. Needless to say, I was on a plane later that day. The kids stayed with their grandmother while I stayed 6 weeks and made a ton of money. While I was there, I paid off all my debts in full and made my annual payment on the lot, which sold a short while later at a handsome profit. In addition, I met some wonderful people, enjoyed Phillipsburg, New Jersey, and was introduced to my first authentic Philly cheesesteak sandwich. I knew for sure that Friday night that while I was out of resources, my God was not, that He would work a miracle for me that night, and He did, and I still praise His holy name for that. Solomon's Prayer of Dedication from 1 Kings 22nd verse. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way. Faith is the bird that sings before dawn.